It's go time.
Welcome to Quick Kicks here on Third Down Gamble. I'm Don Charbon, and today we have a special guest from the MarkCast. It's Reed Johnson, coming all the way from the beautiful Sunshine Coast of Seattle, Washington. Welcome, Reed.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be back.
Yeah, it's awesome to always talk to you. You've always got great perspectives about what's happening in Spring League football, and that's where we're going today.
Yeah, the United Football League, here we are. It's another UFL. It's another, what do they call it, a letter soup, right? You know, we have the XFL and the USFL. Now we have the UFL. So it's always a new conglomeration of letters to make a new football league.
I guess there's a lot of letters in the alphabet that they still could be used if need be. Just to give some history about this, this is a merger between the XFL and the United States Football League. And this started pretty much close to the end of their seasons last year, where some discussion began. And in September, it really picked up in earnest. What was your sense of that at that time?
Well, so this said, yeah. So the story is that right after the USFL had their championship game in July, that kind of these talks started really, you know, behind closed doors, kind of under the sheets. But this was always something I think that was expected 5-10 years down the line, right? Because with spring football and there's only so many players, and people talk, oh, there's all these college, there's only so many quality players, only so many quality coaches, quarterbacks, coaches, you know, offensive linemen, kind of all these people. You know, you're always going to get a swath of players every year, you know, that don't make it to the draft, beginning, you know, being able to field 8, 16, 24 teams, whatever. I think this was always something that was expected, certainly not this year, certainly not September, and then certainly not the announcements and then them being merged and playing in March. I think that was the acceleration of that, I think, surprised a lot of people. I don't know if they have all of their ducks in a row, but I think that we're kind of just doing the best we can this year. And then I think once we get through this season, it'll be like, let's readjust now and kind of figure out what we actually want to do with a full timeline.
Usually when you're starting up, you have to go through that growth process of trying to figure out what worked, what didn't. Did we rush? Did we not? The UFL is going to be a pared down version, I guess, of the two leagues that came together. Each had 8 of their own teams. Now we just have 8 overall.
It's hard. To me, it's hard because what everybody bases all of these, whether it's the XFL or the USFL, right, the rebirth of it, right? Obviously, the USFL was back in the 80s. And then this new UFL. XFL 2020 had a really great 2-year plan. They announced everything in 2018, took a year, and then really started getting everything rolled out, and it felt like a really cohesive vision. Obviously, when the XFL, COVID and all of that, when they were going to come back originally, you bought the league in August, we're going to kick off, decided to kick the can. Then obviously they had their talks with the CFL that further delayed it. Kick the can. And then last year, headed into the XFL season, there was a lot of like stadium issues and trying to get the leases figured, you know, where are we playing in Vegas, kind of all this stuff. That really truncated the preseason last year for the XFL. And now it feels like we're getting that again this year, where I think that fans, we would love to see what at least just a 1-year cohesive vision of promoting any of this stuff looks like, as opposed to what the 3-month thing we have right now, and then the, you know, the truncated one last year. Nothing's hit the original vision, but I don't even think it's been given a chance, just because there hasn't been enough time for varied circumstances.
You mentioned off the top that this was sort of an inevitability. The thought was that after so many years, these two would get together. Why do you think it came so quickly?
I think spring football is a niche, right? It's different, you know, in people, and it's funny here because obviously we cover the CFL, and I think people here have this very different understanding of what the CFL is, right, in Canada, where this is a major brand. It's a cultural milestone, the Grey Cup and all that stuff every year. You know, the ratings that the CFL pulls in comparison to the Canadian population, you know, far outseeds, you know, anything that the all football leagues. But I think people kind of think of that together here, not really understanding the niche product that spring football is. And so I think that when the XFL kicked the can, Fox, who they had been in business with the XFL back in 2020, thought, well, we're going to do this on our own. We can own the product outright. We don't need to license anything. We can control it. They did the USFL, saw kind of what the ratings were, went through the first season, and then the XFL came out, and then you had two, they overlapped for kind of the middle of the season, because XFL started in February, USFL started in April. And I think they saw not only with the quality of player, attendance, TV ratings kind of overlap and otherwise, you know, by the time you got to the end of the USFL season, ratings were struggling because, like, man, if you're involved in spring football, I've been watching this stuff since February. Now it's June. And, you know, even if you're not watching the CFL, like, you know, I've been watching football now for 16 weeks and already I think they realized, okay, we don't have enough. There's not enough attention here to do a 22 or 24 week spring football calendar. We need to consolidate this down and not kind of cannibalize our own market against each other.
And one of the things that the XFL did was start right after Super Bowl. I wondered if they were trying to catch some of those fans that were still wanting to watch football and just catch that overlap.
It to me, and I went back and forth because when the USFL came out and they talked a lot about April is the ideal time to kick off. We're missing March Madness. Our players can go right into OTAs and, you know, training camp kind of in the summer, right? We'll play our championship game, you know, July 4th weekend, and then we do all that. XFL always, even from the 2020 version, we want to kick off the weekend after the Super Bowl. We want to, like you said, keep that attention. We can run, you know, they ran an ad during that Super Bowl, like, hey, football's over. Oh, no, it's not. You know, next weekend, da, 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 da. And you're rolling through all that. And I thought, man, that April one's going to be the ideal timeline because of all this, because of players, all that. What we found out is players going directly from playing in the playoffs or a championship game into going to NFL camps, your body might be ready to go because you're in kind of that workout shape. A lot of injuries, a lot of wear and tear on that going right in. People going outside, doing stuff, going trips. I think the February timeline ideally is the better one. Rolling in, and then you can play your championship game in April, take a couple months off, figure out what you want to do, and then get into another NFL camp.
The USFL, of course, went the different route. They went later and almost ran up to the beginning of NFL camps. So now you've got different philosophies of when to start, compromised, starting on the March last weekend of that month.
Yeah, a part of it, and I asked, so I just wrapped today as we're recording, I wrapped an interview with Daryl Johnston, who's kind of the EVP of football ops there. So pretty big interview for us. It'll be, you know, airing on our YouTube channel here. But I asked him about that because I said, obviously, the thing is, both of these leagues were so, like, and again, it's such this niche thing, but so dug in, and we've seen, you know, even with the rules and everything, each of these leagues have 18 different things that they think make their league the best versus the other. Kickoff, rules, time of play, teams, conference, all that kind of stuff. When it came to the kickoff date, they compromised this year, I think, just because of necessity. But I did ask Daryl, I said, are you going to be moving back to April? Are you going to be moving to February? They haven't decided that yet, at least as far as this came out. Because this year, the March 30th really is, I think, this is as quick as we can get everything together after the merger. Like, there's no way we can do February, and we probably don't want to wait to April, which probably might have been a better idea just because of the lack of marketing that's been going out because of this. Maybe that would have been better, but maybe the XFL didn't want to go that late. So I think there's that jockeying of position right now.
And it's interesting you mentioned about how entrenched they were in their own ideas about who had the best product. It's kind of makes it tough and maybe interesting to be in the negotiation when all of that is being hashed out.
It was equated to me that it was, if you imagine, you know, political parties and trying to kind of pass bills in legislature and, okay, let's go meet and we can give you this and can you give me that? Can we compromise on that? Keep in mind, the USFL, I would say, was openly confrontational towards the XFL, right? Running ads during the Super Bowl, talking about real football is coming in April, you know, glossing over, obviously, the fact that the XFL is playing. Not that you would draw attention to your competition, but calling it real football. They would run ads talking about this isn't a Hollywood league, football league, showing someone dressed in the Brahmas uniform, which is The Rock's team, which is named after The Rock. There were all these kind of subtle jabs. The XFL really went about their business. There was never anything. Now, behind the scenes, they could, you know, might think of all they wanted. Publicly, nothing was ever said. So it's interesting now, whether it was the XFL that reached out, but the USFL took the call, the fact that they just 1 year ago were so like, well, we don't need anybody. We're on top of the world, to now have to, you know, for better or worse, kind of merge and work together on a group project is kind of funny.
Well, it's almost akin to what went down with golf.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
The season, of course, as we mentioned, starts at the end of March. The teams, though, we are down to eight, and Seattle was one of the teams that got paired away, and that was where you are. What kind of emotional roller coaster was that? Because you were quite staunchly a fan of that team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I got into the XFL in 2020 as a fan. I didn't start the media, you know, if you want to call this the media side of it, till the Rock and Danny Garcia bought the league. Would I have been a fan of this now? I don't know. The XFL 2020, I guess it was 2023, really centered on this hub model where a lot of the teams were based in Texas. We had three in Texas. It's a lot of central and then eastern teams. USFL is primarily southern and eastern teams. But the XFL did at least have Seattle and Vegas, and Vegas had all of its issues just in terms of where to play and stuff. It felt like you covered a wider swath of the United States of America, where now if you live west of Texas, there is no team for you to cheer for at all. It's hard in that way, regardless of whether I'm a Seattle fan or not. I think they really bungled kind of how they did the Seattle rollout, and we could talk about that. But I don't care if it's a Seattle team, a Portland team, a San Diego team, a LA team, a Vegas team. I think you need to have some sort of Western Coast representation, which they don't have.
What would preclude them from doing so? Why not Portland? Why not San Diego? They don't have teams right now.
Travel, right? So again, and with the XFL having the three teams in Texas, we're busing people that way. We're in the Dallas hub there. We're flying. You know, we can easily get to some of these teams on the east. Lumen Field is really expensive to run. That's obviously the Seattle Seahawks stadium here in Seattle. That's where they ran. Their stories back in 2020 version, I had a lot of the people that were a part of that league on, and Seattle wasn't supposed to be a part of it. And then they ended up getting, they used to run promotional material at WWE events, and Vince McMahon heard the reactions that Seattle got and said, we need to put a team there. And when they ran the numbers on Lumen Field, they accidentally ran, and basically they told him the entire cost of the entire cost of running there for the season was the cost of one game. So it ended up costing five times what they thought it was, just because of how, you know, it was $80,000 or whatever, but that wasn't for the season. That was for a game. A lot of it is that travel. You're flying players. You know, they were flying people up here, playing until 10 o'clock at night, and then flying them back at 4 a.m. It's tough logistically for that. I think there's a lot of reasons for it.
Rules is something else you touched upon. Where did the leagues finally settle on rules? Kickoffs, obviously, probably being the most significant.
Well, yeah, so it's hard to me, and I vehemently disagree with the UFL. They are keeping the USFL kickoff, which is basically the NFL one. We're just moving it back further to avoid touchbacks. The XFL had Sam Schwartzstein workshopped it for years, and they tested it in the Spring League, and they tested it, I think, at various colleges and things. Having the players line up opposite of each other near the one end zone, having the kicker kick the ball in, limiting the distance in between the kicking team and the receiving team to kind of avoid a lot of the head-on collision kind of injuries that you had. I think it had like a 96% return rate, no injuries. The NFL is even looking at a modified version of that now, because they've completely kind of, you know, massacred their kickoffs and everything they've done the last year with the fair catch and all that. The USFL stood firm. Daryl Johnston said it didn't look like real football. Well, it didn't look like traditional football. I asked him about that in the interview, because spoiler alert, Daryl, a lot of the people involved in the USFL now we're a part of the XFL, and, you know, they kind of all go back and forth. So having this staunch opinion of it, but I think they wanted it to look like NFL football in the spring with just a couple of tweaks. And they thought the XFL kickoff was too divergent of that.
Big tweak, I guess, that people would notice is the two forward pass rule.
Yeah, I mean, you had that a couple times. Landry Jones did that back in 2020. It's something that I think if the league exists for a couple seasons and you can start workshopping that and play designing around that, it's hard, right? The extra points is another big one, where you can go for one, two, or three. The USFL, you were still allowed to kick for the 1 point, and then you had to run a play for the 2 point or the 3 point. The XFL, you always had to run a point, so it would incentivize you. Well, if we got to run a play from the one or the two or the whatever, they've tweaked it over the years, but whatever it is now, you have to run a play for either the 1, 2, or 3 points. So it incentivizes that versus just kicking.
I think it's the 5, 10, and 15 now for 1, 2, and 3 after a touchdown.
Yeah, and I lose track because the USFL, they did their own, and they put the rule book out, and I'll see it when the opening game goes.
Fox is half owner, and of course the Redbird Group and all of that entails is the other half. How are these two going to get along?
You know, that's a really good question. The story is that XFL and Redbird reached out to Fox, right? And that they said, hey, let's work through all this. I don't buy who reached out to whom, because obviously the other party picked up the phone, right? It was the same with the XFL and the CFL. I'm like, well, the XFL reached out. Yeah, the CFL answered the call. I mean, whatever it is, I mean, they're at least open to these ideas. Is Fox trying to offload this? Are they trying to move on? Is this too much of a commitment for them where they thought, hey, I think Fox thought like, hey, we can produce 10 weeks of football and it's cheaper than buying the rights to air movies Saturday afternoon on our channel. And like, we own it, we can promote it on the side and we can do sports betting with our side and we can kind of do all that stuff. Well, now you're down this whole thing of like, okay, we're competing with these league and now we got to fight for players and we got to fight for markets and we got to fight for coaches. Like, is that too big of a commitment for them? And then for Redbird, are they trying, you know, they openly were looking for investors all the way back through last season and trying to get people to come in, buy into the league to invest? Or are they looking for Fox to spend that money? I think you could see it both ways. I'm not quite sure yet what the ultimate end game is, but clearly I don't think either of these entities is 100% committed. It doesn't feel like, if you ask me.
And 100% committed to what, I guess, is the best question I can ask.
Well, so like, there are all these things came out and okay, Redbird has earmarked all this money going into the XFL last season. And then the second the season was over, it's like, well, we didn't hit our metrics. We didn't sell enough stuff. Okay, we're laying off our marketing people. Okay, we're laying off this, we're laying off that, we're cutting back. You're like, okay, but if you're bought in here for 3 years and the second we get done with the first season and you're laying people off, and it felt the same with Fox, right? Like Fox had a 3-year plan. They said, we're going to do a hub in Birmingham season one. We're going to go to 3 to 4 hubs the next season. And then we're going to try to be in all 8 hubs by season 3. Well, obviously that didn't work out as well because they are fielding the call. So it seems like both of these ownership groups have these plans and they seem very adverse to losing money, which I understand. But as someone that owns my own business and had to take out a loan, just buy my things to start to do what I did, there are costs associated with any start of business, especially a football league. I mean, Vince McMahon dumped hundreds of millions of dollars here going in back in 2020. So this idea of the second we don't hit our goals the first season, we're out, and we're trying to find people to come in. It doesn't match the messaging you're saying when you're saying that you're invested.
Typically in business circles, they say 5 years is about the time that it takes for a business and when you're going to see a profit. So if you're cutting your losses after one, it does make you wonder what the commitment level is, I guess.
And the idea that we're just going to keep shaving off things until Fox offloads a lot of their resources onto the USFL. It's like people that were doing other stuff, right? Like some of the people that were doing social, okay, well, can you do Fox Sports Twitter for 7 hours a day? And can you do USFL for an hour? You know, we're offloading some of these responsibilities. XFL had committed, you know, they had committed people, and they do this time as well. That at least has carried over, where we have committed team communications people for every team, team social media people for every team, you know, these things to go in. But it was the second the season ended last year. Like I said, XFL, that we're laying off the chief marketing officer, we're laying off ticket people. It didn't hit up the metrics that we wanted. It's like you were only had a preseason for 3 months or whatever. You're trying to sell these tickets. Like, what do you expect these people to do? So they seem like I said, they don't want to, there's no like second investment of money coming in. It's shaving off what we're already spending.
The criticisms against the XFL and its previous entity was that Dwayne Johnson kind of was so out there and so out in front of it that maybe he distracted from the actual XFL itself and the players and what was going on the field.
I don't think you have to worry about that right now because The Rock is fully committed in his WrestleMania build with Cody Rhodes, which is phenomenal. I haven't been into wrestling for many years, but phenomenal stuff. But him and Danny are both pretty not in front of, I know The Rock talked about it, like when he did the Daytona flag, he did the, you know, gentlemen, start your engines or whatever for the Daytona 500. So they're there, but it seems to me that they've transitioned their titles to founders of the league versus like, you know, Danny Garcia was the chairwoman in 2023 with the XFL, and she had her name, her signature on the football. And okay, this is part of, you know, I'm the first female, you know, chairwoman and co-owner of a professional sports league, kind of all that stuff. I don't see Danny a lot right now. Like I said, I had Daryl Johnston on that about right now is the highest ranking kind of football official, him or Russ Brandon involved in this. And it seems like, yeah, they are not as big of a picture right now where there's no Player 54 anymore. There's no documentary about Danny and The Rock buying the league. I mean, a lot of that stuff is gone.
Another thing that could be said is that they're taking more cues from the AAF.
Yeah, I think the football is going to be really good, right? I think, and it sucks for all the coaches and staff and players, right? We lost 50% of all of that. Players coming in and, you know, they're cutting down. And I'm talking with Daryl Johnson. He said back in the USFL last year, you had a pretty good idea that you were going to be on the team. If you were looking around, okay, well, this is who I'm competing against. This is who he's like, the competition is so tough right now. I do think the football is going to be phenomenal. That's what I said back with XFL last year. I said, there's so many smart people here. We had Russ Giglio and Russ Brandon and all these people. To me, the issue with both of these leagues has never been the football here the last couple of years. I do think there's smart people involved. It's how do you get new fans involved in this now, where this is kind of the 3.5 version of, you know, it, even ignoring the AAF, it was the XFL, and then that failed, and then it was going to come back, and then it didn't, and then the USFL, and then now, and okay, the XFL came, and now we're merging. It's so far beyond kind of what it was, even just in the span of 5 years, right? This isn't over a 25-year period. This is over 5 years of, you know, the AFL at whatever, you know, merger back with the NFL. Like, this is that over the period of, you know, 2 years here at this point, it feels like.
But one of the things that has to, in the minds of the UFL, they have to get past is their own legacy, because put number here, failed number of spring leagues.
Yeah. And I don't, right now, I don't, and I still don't know. I don't know what we're doing to attract anybody new. So the mindset I have is we had 16 fan bases. So you cut that in half. So you're losing. Okay, I'm covering it, I'm involved, but you know, you're kind of losing some of that. Maybe people don't want to cheer for another team. Okay, I feel scoring that way. Now you have the people that think that spring football isn't going to work, that they're the end, you know, hey, this is these losers. It's the same people that talk bad about the CFL and like, oh, the talent, like, and I don't know, besides just saying we're taking these two leagues that were kind of struggling and now putting them together. I don't know. I asked Daryl, I say, it needs to be more than 1 + 1 = 2. It needs to be 1 + 1 = 10. And I don't know what that plan is. I don't think they had time to actualize or visualize that this year. But as you know, there's not a lot of time with these. And so I don't know if there will be a next year. You know, if this year doesn't do, because I always get that. And sorry to rant here, but like, I get that a lot. Like, hey, like I'll write them, hey, you know, we'd love to do something. I see you have a supplemental draft coming up. Like, could we be involved in that? Or would love to be able to, like, I could fly there. We could be in the room. I could be on the Zoom call. We could be producing our own content that doesn't cost you. And I get a lot of, we just need to get through this time, or we just need to get through this. Like, we'll do it next time. Yeah, that's good. Like, but then there is no next time. You know, there was no XFL supplemental anything 2.0 because we didn't make it that far. So that's why I think you need to capitalize when you can.
The players, they're the guys that are out there providing the entertainment. Half of them are gone. I know it will improve the overall quality of the teams, but what if you're a player that last year was on a team that doesn't exist now?
Well, I think you saw a lot of retirements. We had Bo Scarborough retire the other day. Part of it's age, you know, because again, part of it is these guys have been doing this now since 2019 into 2020 into all this. And at some point, like, we've only done so many. And like, I know, like, Luis Perez is back, and, you know, he was the champion quarterback with the Renegades last year. I mean, they won the XFL title. But like, even Luis, I'm like, I don't know how many more times you can, you know, and I know you're not playing the full NFL calendar and kind of involved in all that, but at some point there's only, people are people and people are ages, and there's only so long you can do this. And yeah, a lot of the players said like, well, that's it. That was my opportunity. I'm moving on. I mean, you sat around for half a season waiting to hear what was going on. I mean, I had coaches DMing me from the USFL, like, do you know if my team is coming back? I don't think so. Well, they haven't told me anything. And then they sit around and then they wake up and they find out that their team no longer exists when they were told, well, we're going forward with next season, whether or not the merger happens. I mean, I couldn't imagine being any of these people involved as coaches, staff, in terms of like the ticket sales people, in terms of the social people. A lot of people really have their lives on hold for months here waiting to hear about this.
Other aspects that this brings about is that the CFL now has a bigger talent pool south of the border to take a look at.
Yeah, and I mean, that I know was an issue, right? I mean, last year when you had 16 teams for the players, and it's one of those, and then the CFL can laugh and go, oh, we'll see, that wasn't, and it was 1 year. And it's true. I mean, as much as people want to get mad at the CFL, call them homers or whatever, you know, saying, oh, this is never going to work. I mean, there's been five of these that have come and gone in the last 6 years. Like, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to argue about that, because I'll kind of defend whatever. I mean, I don't like homerism in anything. And it's the same with the XFL people getting out about this kickoff, or the USFL people and all this kind of the rule changes. Like, I think you need to be open to whatever, but it is hard to argue with the CFL people when it's, hey, now we're on version whatever of this. You're probably right.
What are the markers that this new entity is going to have to hit? What are they going to have to do to make sure that there's a 2025?
They've been really vague about that, right? So there was a Greg Williams, who's the defensive coordinator for the Defenders. He came out this week and was talking like, well, if it's successful, and then the plan is to go to 16 teams or to go to 10 teams. I think it was 10 teams, because I don't even pay attention to it, because I'm like, okay, this is all hypotheticals. Yeah, we'll go to 10 teams and then 16 teams. I mean, there's no hard markers, right? There's no, we need to hit this viewership, we need to do that. And there's no one really, you know, because like even Daryl Johnson, you ask him, well, what are the TV ratings you need to hit? Well, he's not going to answer that. He's going to say, well, I'm involved in football ops. It's like, well, then who do we talk to get that? I don't know, because people quibbled the last 2 years over XFL versus USFL ratings. You know, are they good enough? Are they not good enough? Well, clearly they weren't good enough, or else we wouldn't be here. But do I think kickoff is going to top what either the XFL or the USFL did last year? No, I do not. I do not think that adding the two together is going to increase the viewership over what you have. Now, maybe I'm in the minority, but I don't believe that.
It is going to be tough, because you have, as we talk about, that legacy. It's spring football has not done well. If you don't bring in a new audience, what are you going to be in 2 or 3 years?
And there's, like I said, there's nothing currently being done, I think, that is kind of trying to reach out to that. Like I said, they had The Rock on McAfee and stuff, and they were trying to get him on the College Game Day, really kind of appeal to that. But I mean, that was months ago. And that's also the problem with starting in March, is there's no football that you can build off of, right? You can't run an ad during the Super Bowl and go, next weekend, we're going to be here. You know, how do you maintain? Are they running ads right now on whatever is golf or whatever is airing on Fox? Like, maybe, but I don't know. It seems the philosophy of spring football ownership has always been 100 million people watch the NFL. If we could just get 10% of that, we would be here. If we could just get 5% of that, or if we could just get, but not necessarily trying to have its own identity. It's just, well, if we could look like that and just get part of what that is, then we could be successful. And I don't think that's a good, I just don't think that's a recipe for success. I think at least like the CFL is its own thing, right? The CFL is its own. And, you know, those fans, and they get a little, oh, the NFL, like, don't worry about that. You're your own thing, right? And it's great. You're not, right? Somebody wants CFL. They want all the spring football. Is like, if you like that, you might also like what we do. We just don't have the quality of player just isn't quite there, which is not a selling point.
Is part of the end game to what? A, be a feeder system for the NFL, or B, just find a niche and just enjoy the ride?
Daryl said that they want to move away from being developmental. They want to move away from a league of opportunity. They want to dive into, our talent is good, and this is, you can come watch good football here. So I don't know if that's where I would go or not. I mean, I don't know if watching the show where the players are trying to get to the main show is a selling point. Right? I always equate this to the WWE, and it's different now, but WWE used to have NXT, and NXT was the feeder league to the WWE. Every single person there was trying to get a WWE contract, but the TV show and the federation, whatever, existed and had its own storyline. So you could watch each week and not care, knowing that, like, you knew in the back of your head, all these guys want to go make $5 million on the main roster, but who cares? Cause they're entertaining right now. That's what the exit for the UFL needs to be now is that's still going to be everyone's end goal, but we can't talk about that 8,700 times a game. We need to be able to focus on, like, these are the storylines. Luis Perez is back. The kickoff game, you have the XFL champions versus the USFL champions. We have coaches. I just had Coach Jonathan Heimbach on our show. He won a title with the USFL championship back in 2020, and then he came to the XFL. Then he won a title here. Now they're playing the storylines that you can build without it being like, all these players really want to be playing in September and not right now. Like, that's just, it's a hard way to build interest.
Well, and it's something that the CFL faces all the time too, because there are a handful of players that wind up leaving the league to go to the NFL, especially if they have standout seasons.
Yeah, and like, there's some that did, right? Like the USFL had, you know, and people get called up during the season. But I think pre-NFL season last year, you know, you had Brandon Aubrey go to the Cowboys to be a kicker. The year before, you had Kevontae Turpin. You know, the XFL had a couple, like, so we've got like five people here going in out of, that's the exception, not the rule right now, right? That is an awesome opportunity that Brandon Aubrey got, but we can't build our entire league's mentality around, you know, one of 300 people. Like, this isn't, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or whatever. Like, this isn't, well, or I guess it would be like Deal or No Deal. Like, well, one of these is worth an NFL contract, but everyone else, like, you need to make it worthwhile while I'm invested in this.
Let's look at the season itself. We've got two champions from their previous league. They're going toe-to-toe. Where do you think this season is going to wind up? Who's going to be a team that you have to fear?
Well, the problem is the Birmingham Stallions are really, really good. They're really, really good. They, to me, are kind of the what you want a spring football team to be right now, right? A lot of consistency, a lot of carryover year over year, a lot of coaching staff, and you know, they've been able to kind of keep all that. Skip Holtz, their head coach, you know, he's all in. He loves Birmingham, loves all that. You know, Birmingham is kind of the team to beat. We'll see, you look on the XFL side and you go, oh, well, so it would be the Arlington Renegades. I mean, that's the XFL's champion. But the Renegades got to the playoffs as a 4-6 record last year. They traded for Luis Perez. I think it was like 4 weeks before the end of the season, whatever it was before the end. We're bringing Luis Perez, and then we just kind of hit fire and we made it in. And then we upset a couple of teams and we made it in. Not both champions are equal at this point, right? Now, I think some of the other USFL teams, you know, the Michigan Panthers, Memphis Showboats will be all right. They're figuring out their quarterback stuff. But you know, I think a big Birmingham's the team to beat. Battlehawks are making a lot of noise. Their fans always make a lot of noise. They missed the playoffs last year. They had a win and in against Seattle and they lost. And there was a lot of complaining about the playoff structure and the formatting. And all they had to do was beat Seattle at home and they couldn't do it. So it's hard to kind of get into the minutia of all that. But DC is always good. They just lost to Abram Smith, who is there. He was the number one draft pick back last year for the XFL, back as a running back. He's going to be out for the season. I think that's confirmed now. But I think Birmingham's kind of the class right now. It doesn't matter what conference you're in.
In the interim, you don't want one of the old leagues beating up on the other league in this schedule.
We didn't know, right? Are we going to keep the USFL branding? Are we going to keep the XFL? And obviously, they have the two conferences that way, even though there's technically five XFL franchises, but we're splitting it up that way. I mean, that's, you know, kind of interesting. We got to kind of placate that. Okay, well, we still have four USFL teams, even though one of them formerly was an XFL. But yeah, you want to have some parity there. I mean, I will say it seemed to be USFL 2022 had some coaches that were a little out to lunch, a little like, yeah, this is fun. We'll kind of check this out. I think everybody is very invested in this. It struck me that we interviewed, I don't know, at least three or four of the XFL head coaches last year and had them live on their shows and stuff. Like, they're very invested. And so I think now you're getting kind of the cream of the USFL coaches that were really invested and then the cream of the XFL. So these guys want to win, right? They're former players, former competitors. So I think that you're going to see a level of, we're not just riding out the season. We're making moves like Arlington did 2/3 of the way through the season. Like, we really care about this. If we didn't care about this, we wouldn't be making moves right now. So I think if there is, you know, one league starts beating up on the other, I think you're going to see some changes. Because I think there's a lot of pride in this. I think the coaches really do a good job and really care.
And that just will lend to good football.
Yes. Again, I've always said that. I don't know what the market, I don't agree with everything else, but I do think the football will be good.
Reed, where can people find and follow you on the socials?
TheMarkCast.com has links to everything. We do our YouTube channel. You know, you can just search The Markcast on there, and then obviously on your podcast stuff. We are with Sports Illustrated now, which is also exciting. We got picked up through them. So if you're part of Sports Illustrated and Fan Nation side, our stuff is on there. We have the MarkCast everywhere. And yeah, I appreciate it. I like being able to have a platform to come on and kind of talk and have you ask questions, because it's, you know, you get into it and it's, I'm asking a lot of different people and okay, what's your opinion? It's nice to have an opportunity to share mine. So I do appreciate that.
Great. Well, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. And we got to do it again sometime.
Awesome. Thanks.
For listening to our show, Third Down Gamble is hosted on Podbean and can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Follow us on Twitter at Third Down Gamble. Join us again at the Third Down Gamble podcast, audio worth watching.
Third Down Gamble uses the expert resources provided by Canadian Football League player and game statistics, for analytics, game notes, and statistics, and 3downnation.com for news, insight, and in-depth analysis. Please visit cfl.ca and 3downnation.com for the most up-to-date information on the Canadian Football League.